It's time for the greatest little internet radio show, Blow the Whistle. Always live on SportsTownChicago.com and on Twitch at SportsTownShot. Tyler, Butterball, Beaterball.
Jackson Mahomes.
Dude, you are so stupid. I knew this kid was going to be a complete meth, like a youth mess. Not meth. Sorry. Not meth.
That might be part of it.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you have learned that your brother doesn't even let you go on the field anymore to his games? He sticks you up in a freaking suite.
See, I think he needs to go to Allstate because when you're covered by mayhem,
you'll be better protected.
Andrew Pepe Ballantyne.
IMG Academy for being sold for $1.5 billion to the Endeavor Group, who bought WWE and UFC.
No way.
Yeah. How can you say that high school's sports is not about business when the IMG Academy, who is supposed to be a legitimate high school, goes for $1.25 billion to Endeavor Corporate? Are you kidding me?
It's game time.
David Double D Dykstra.
Not the sixth round.
Yeah.
Not the seventh round.
Mm-mm.
Not even a free agent signee.
Nope.
You go out and draft your backup quarterback to Jordan Love. And yes, I said backup quarterback, because if you look at that quarterback room, nobody, nada, zip, zilch, nothing. For every Bears fan that is out there right now, hope and pray to God that Jordan Love twists his ankle so bad that you get to see this godforsaken mess.
Oh my God.
That is Sean Mother Trucking Clifford.
Let's get her.
Tyler Buterbaugh, Andrew Ballantyne, and David Dykstra. Your greatest little internet radio show everywhere you go.
And welcome, everybody, here to Blow the Whistle here on twitch.tv/sportstownshy. I hope you're all having a fantastic Friday, because it is Friday, folks, just to remind you.
Friday, fun day.
Absolutely, because I had to remind myself that it was Friday, because I thought I had work tomorrow.
Dude, I had no idea what day it was this week. I haven't worked since Sunday. And this is the most I've been. I was supposed to work yesterday, but obviously you guys know
why.
You're
like, I'm not doing anything.
I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I don't need to know what day it is.
Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am hosting for you. I'm Andrew Pepe Valentin, and I'm, of course, here with
Tyler Butterball Buterbaugh.
And we are also joined by
David Double D Dykstra.
There we go.
David Double Texting Dykstra.
Hey, I'm retweeting for you, dude. Shush.
Okay, good. Good boy.
Classes in session, David. Phones down. No, I'm just kidding.
Listen, he's got another new nickname. I'm just putting it out there.
Another one?
Dude, yeah.
How many more can he have?
Mine's already a mouthful.
It's Tyler. I give my wife kidney stones, Buterbaugh.
This is...
How am I going to fit that in the intro?
That's too long. Like, it doesn't work.
Tyler, Butterball, Yo Ball, and Shane giving his fiance kidney stones, Buterbaugh.
It's too much.
That's half the open.
Seriously?
Tyler's just... Why is your open so long? Tyler has to get through his nicknames.
Your highlight's just going to be, hi.
Hi, I'm him.
That's me. A Buterbaugh.
I'm a Buterbaugh.
What are we talking about, Andrew?
Well, today, folks, as we're doing with our new format, we're focusing on one thing, and today it's going to be the college football, folks.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, baby.
Because the season is pretty much right around the corner at this point. Well,
Media days are upon us, ladies and gentlemen.
It's really coming up.
We got less than a month really kind of coming into
it. And exciting as it is, SEC Media Day is coming up, so I can only hope and pray that Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban open up their mouths.
I want Jimbo Fisher to give us another beauty, please.
Jimbo Fisher, Brian Kelly.
I love that exchange.
Who else is it?
Jimbo.
Freeze is back in the SEC.
Oh, God. Well, you know, in Psalms 257, shut up.
See?
Nobody wants to hear that stuff,
this
Freeze.
This is why when you got baptized in the church, Andrew, it burnt.
That's why she baptized you.
Yeah, that's why. That's why.
She knows you.
Yeah. It's not like we did it on the first date or anything.
Good See, that's what you got to watch out for is those good Christian girls. Because once that door closes.
Yeah, but you don't know who's that. Like, I just assumed, oh, I'm working at a church function.
Every good Christian girl that
put
says
it together.
They are a good Christian girl. Now, I shouldn't say.
Well, she never said that.
But
so.
A majority of them, once you get them behind closed doors, they're like, so. How you doing?
They bring the Satan.
This
out
coming
of them.
From I shouldn't say former because I'm always going to be a PK, but
right.
But a preacher's kid who dealt with such things on a regular basis.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the. This is Blow the Whistle Religion Talk. Welcome everybody.
This is the religion podcast.
That would be a hard pivot. All right, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, we got college football. We are covering...
This is my religion, college football! Hallelujah! Praise Jesus!
Go Tigers!
Go Tigers!
All right, well, we're going to be covering a couple of the conferences here. We're going to cover a couple of the top conferences here. We're doing Big 12, Big 10, and the SEC. We'll get into the others at a later date because we got plenty of time now with these new shows going on.
Yeah,
so,
baby.
Boys... Are you ready to get this one started?
Let's do it.
I want to scratch this itch. Let's go.
Let's do it, folks. We're going to start it off in the Big Ten. Yeah, that's right. Folks, the Big Ten obviously is one of the most prestigious, I think, conferences in college football by far. I mean, a lot of history.
Considering you got three teams in the top six preseason.
I would say so. So, yeah. I mean.
They're right up there with the SEC this year.
Yeah.
They're a lot more competitive this year.
It's a battle this year. But this year, I mean, obviously, as usual, you've got your main top guys right there, right? You've got Ohio State and Michigan who are right now kind of sitting at like the 10.5 win spots. And you then have... Not the newcomers, but the kids that have finally come back on the block, let's say, in Penn State, who are also there.
How you... Whoa.
Here we go.
Whoa.
We're already going to start
Love
an
how
argument.
See how I kind of like get underneath a little bit and...
How are you going to sit there and call Penn State a newcomer?
I didn't say newcomer. I said not a newcomer, but they're coming back on the block, right? They've been on the block.
They've been
on
the block.
On the block.
They haven't had a season with less than 9 wins other than the COVID season.
I mean, they've been like walking up the street lately, but like now they're getting like back on the block.
Have they broken that ceiling yet? No.
They're becoming more of a threat.
Right.
In the Big Ten.
Yeah. This is
the
shadow of a doubt.
This is probably the year where I'm sure everybody can agree, like, this is kind of a moment where they can break into the ranks and really do damage against the Big Ten because you look at what's on that roster, you saw what happened last year, and obviously the projections are that that team can possibly go 9-10.
And there's a definite upgrade at the quarterback position.
You don't have some 90-year-old dude playing quarterback.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
But those are the top favorites right now, obviously. I mean, Michigan, Ohio State. It makes a lot of sense that they would be at the top.
I honestly... I mean, well, you sit there and you have sung praises about the new starting... Wow, I'm having trouble talking.
It's okay.
The new starting quarterback for Ohio State.
I like Kyle McCord because he was still a top recruit. It's just that when you look at him, he looks like plain white cheese.
They have plain
take
white
that for what you will.
They have plain white cheese, but they have probably the most charismatic, I would say, head and shoulders above any other wide receiver in the country, best wide receiver in the country.
Their wide receiver, you.
Well, no,
the top.
But out of the recent receivers that has come out of that school, this guy is the best.
Once again, I'm gonna
genetics,
say
baby. top three pick.
I can't say that these words would ever come out of my mouth ever again in my entire life. But I have a man crush on an Ohio State player. Marvin Harrison Jr. is the real deal,
dude. Marvin Harrison Sr. If you can just like give us the instruction manual on how you, as a 5'10", 5'11" man, made a 6'4" behemoth of an athlete as
HGH.
Your son.
I mean, what I meant to say was,
I mean, it's clear greatness went into greatness like that. That passed over, and he's clearly the best. I think he's one of the best wide receivers. We would say in maybe the last 10, 15 years.
I've never seen, and this is. This is 40,
at least to this point. Like,
this is 40 years of me watching live college football, college football on television. I've never seen a wide receiver be able to take over a football game like Marvin Harrison Jr. has.
Yeah.
And he did it in two huge, huge games last year. He does not play the way he does against Penn State last year. Ohio State loses that game.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
If you look at his stats from 21 and 22, it's just kind of, it just shows of how many successful receivers. Yeah. Like, he only had 139 receiving yards in 21. 22, over 1,200 receiving yards.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And
it's just a shame that Ohio State's hit him
right, yeah.
for this long. Like, well, imagine what his numbers would be.
He was crammed on the depth chart.
Like, he was only a freshman.
No, yeah. I know.
That's the scary part about it. Is like,
he's going in junior. This is just
think
insane.
About who he was it's behind insane. Though.
Olave and
Garrison Wilson.
Garrett Wilson.
Well, and now you've got Jackson Smith and Jigba, and now he's got he's ahead of the class with a giant group of guys in Emeka Ebuka, who's being projected as a top 10 pick. You've got Brandon Enos, who's coming in as a freshman, who's 6'2", 210. Then you got the kid that just committed to them, Jeremiah Smith, who's a man among boys at 6'3", 215. I don't know how you... What do I got? I'll feed my kids kale all day if that's what it takes. I'll do it. My kids go into the league somehow.
See, no. Here's the thing, Andrew.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I've got a feeling that Raylan's going to be taller than her mother me both. Because there's tall people in her family. Like, she's the shortest person in her family. Now, if, you know, Tyler ends up having a 6'4", 225 kid.
I could see that happening.
Taking advantage
well, we
of
made,
that.
We said, I'm like, he comes, that kid's going to be like 7 feet tall.
See, the thing is, even on my mom's side that they're all average height, they're not that tall. Like my brother that's the average height is the tallest out of all of them. Like they're all pretty short.
5'10"?
Shorter than that.
Really?
Oh, my brother. Yeah, my brother's about 5'10". Yeah. But everyone else on that family is like around 5'5".
Okay.
5'6".
Okay.
So.
Well, with all the hormones that are in food nowadays, you know, that doesn't hurt things anyway.
Exactly.
Who knows?
Emily doesn't come from a tall family.
We should probably get back to...
the college football. All right, so outside of Ohio State, obviously, the big competition, their rival is obviously Michigan. I mean, and there's questions for both of these teams, right? With Ohio State, it's a lot of the quarterback situation. I don't think that's the biggest question, though, because I think they kind of know that was a fluid motion that was going to happen. But the defense is obviously going to be something that they're
more concerned on. I think they've leveled up, actually. A lot of their younger players that were there last year and were inexperienced, they got better as the year went on.
Right. Yeah. JT Tuimoloa and Jack Sawyer.
I think that's going to be not such a detriment to them this year.
Okay.
I think they're a little better defensively than they were last year. Let me put it to you that way.
Okay.
But when it comes to being an all-around stacked football team, it's Michigan.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, and if they can find maybe one more receiver, they could challenge for the national title.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, J.J. McCarthy, I still think that kid could be something special coming out of Michigan as a
quarterback. He proved us wrong last year because we were all saying, hey, I don't know.
He fought even when it was looking like it was a tough outing for him. Like, when they were in that playoff game there at the end, like, he was struggling, but he was like, clearly Harbaugh was like, I'm not giving up on you. Just keep throwing it.
Yeah. He's got that confidence mentality. Yeah. Like, he's going to fight until... the last buzzer.
Hey, Harbaugh, how good would your team be this year if Milton was on it? Just saying.
What's interesting is I've seen the articles, and we'll get to the SEC here soon, but I've seen the articles, and McCarthy and Milton are a couple of names that get named as overrated quarterbacks now, which I think a lot of it is just Michigan doesn't get the credit for the quarterback stuff.
But once again,
their defense and Milton... Again, we'll get into it, but I think a lot of it is, he couldn't make it at Michigan, so...
Well, then, but once again, when we're talking McCarthy, what kind of weapons does he have at wide receiver?
Right.
He doesn't have...
There's not a lot.
I think it's
there.
Johnson, and I
you
think
put,
one
you put
other
McCarthy
guy.
On Ohio State?
That team's probably running the gauntlet.
He's close to Drake May and Caleb Williams talk.
Yeah, I would.
He's putting
say
up
so.
Those kind of numbers.
If he was at Ohio State, I can totally see
if
that.
If he has a season this year where it's like 30 touchdowns, I guarantee somebody's going to say, oh, "Well, he projected as a first round pick," which at that point he may leave. Then, and that's the thing I think Harbaugh's probably shaking in his boots a little bit about.
I do find it interesting that on most people's projections, they have both Ohio State and Michigan at 10.5.
Yeah. Well, I think I understand that. Like, because at the end of the year, it probably comes down to that game, right? That's what everyone's thinking.
They all play 12.
Right.
So you figure, I've seen projections where, and if this happens, please God, let this happen. All three of those top echelon teams in the East.
Right.
Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State have one loss.
That's possible.
It is definitely possible.
Yeah.
I mean,
and let's get into Penn State too, because obviously, you know, that team is bringing in a brand new quarterback in Drew Aller, who
you guys saw him.
Yeah.
Live.
You got a chance to see him live.
Andrew and I saw him in person.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever sprouted manwood so quickly in my entire life, not to be too.
I mean, the way that he played as a true freshman stepping into that position, I know it's just, you can say, oh, it was just Purdue, but the fact that you go in there as a true freshman to replace
pocket
a
presence,
yeah,
timing, he was hitting guys that he doesn't typically work with,
yeah,
in stride, that you could see the difference between an elite,
yeah,
talented arm and that of.
Well, yeah, you said they had that one.
A fifth
nice
round draft pick in
the future starting quarterback of the Packers.
Yeah. there was evidence right off the bat.
Yeah.
Like moving to his side to elude a rush from the left and throwing the ball in a timely manner. And like the times that he did even get in. Last year he threw
a ball that he just flicked it with his wrist and it went like 50 yards. He missed his guy completely, but everyone around us was kind of like, damn. Like, yeah. Like it was like, I mean, he missed the dude, but like he didn't put, like you can see Sean Clifford has to put everything into the mechanics have to be perfect for that throw. With Drew Aller, it was just kind of like there.
He just
like,
flicked it, yeah.
It just went and it just flew out of his hand.
And it That's was beautiful. Tight. Yeah. Like the velocity, the spin rate.
He's got Josh Allen written all over him. If he just stays healthy and he keeps playing,
he pretty
at that
mobile
level,
too.
He can run.
I don't want to call him. He can run.
He doesn't have to though.
But like when need be, like how Josh Allen is.
If he needed to, if he had to take off and run, he could easily do it because he's a big enough body.
Yeah.
But luckily he doesn't have to because I mean they have two, maybe one of the best 1-2 tandems in the backfield.
Can we just go three deep here? Because they went out and said, yeah, hey Potts from Minnesota, why don't you come down and join us too, and we'll just have fun.
I mean, that's like, all. Penn State's almost considered running back you.
Well, and not even that.
They're getting back to that level.
Yeah, they're getting back.
Right. Well, they've got Tank behind that. Tank Smith behind that. Right. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. They've got a pretty loaded. They got a pretty loaded roster. And look, the receiving core this year is projected to possibly be as good, if not maybe better than last year.
They're young.
Yeah.
Is what worries me. They're young. They're loaded with talent, but they are young.
Yeah. Penn State ranked number 2 in recruit. For Big Ten.
Big Ten last year, yeah.
Yeah. And I think this year, for 24.
The last two years.
Yeah, they've been up there in the recruiting.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happens when you give the man a contract?
And their defense. Yeah. Their defense has to get a lot of respect too. Chop Robinson right now projected as a first round draft pick as
an
edge rusher. Allen, you've got also Kalen King, who's being projected to be better than Joey Porter Jr.
You've got the kid who now dons number 11.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name off the top of my
head.
Yeah,
I'm blanking on that.
But he started as a freshman last year, and the more he played, the better he got.
Right.
So they're expecting big things out of him this year.
Yeah.
East, be glad Nebraska's not in the East.
Oh, they'd have no chance.
Well, and this is where I want to, so like, I mean, we just talked about the top three teams, but the rest of the Big Ten, there's obviously a lot of teams in here. I mean, I know your team, Nebraska's in there. Let's kind of get into that a little bit, because right now Nebraska's at 6 right now for their win projected total, which you could take it either way. It's Matt Rhule's first year. They've got a new quarterback in Jeff Sims. Well,
yep.
Everybody's talking about
Casey Thompson. He's kind of an upgrade because the arm's there. I don't think he's as accurate a thrower, but his speed on the field helps them to be able to say we can establish the run, which is where they were strongest at last year.
Once again, with Matt Rhule being there, Matt Rhule in his college days was known as a little bit of a quarterback guru.
Right.
Yeah.
So if he can get this dude's mechanics down, then great. There you go.
Yeah.
Then,
absolutely.
I mean, I don't know who they really have at wide receiver with Trey Palmer leaving. That was their number one speedy receiver. And so there's a lot of question marks, in my opinion, at the wide receiver mark. But
did what's his name leave?
Who?
Who are you?
Are
you thinking of?
The coolest or?
Oh, yeah.
Left. Yeah. He's gone. Yeah,
Where'd he transfer to?
He went to. What was his name again?
Dakoldis Crawford.
Dakoldis Crawford, yeah.
Still a great commercial, by the way.
Probably went to Colorado. I'm just going to throw that out right now.
Oh, no. He went to Louisiana Tech.
Did he?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He went back home.
He went to La Tech.
Yeah. He went over there.
He went from LSU to Nebraska to you know what? He's going to get a chance to play.
But they La Tech,
They do have a couple guys in the backfield that I wouldn't sleep on, and Anthony Grant and Gabe Irvin Jr.
Yeah, yeah.
If you look at Gabe Irvin Jr. has put on some weight.
Yeah.
Like, muscle weight, and so he's a big dude. So they could have a very dominant 1-2 in the backfield.
Feels like you both remember this. For those that don't know, it feels like Amir Abdullah and Rex Burkhead back at it feels like that 1-2 punch
where you've got
the hammer and then you've got lightning on the other side.
Yeah.
Or however, thunder and lightning, however you want to
put it. Mike Rozier.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. Those days.
Roger Craig.
Tommy Frazier.
And I mean, that's how Nebraska's always been. They've always been
Lawrence Phillips.
They've always been like a run it down your throat.
You can say what you want about Lawrence Phillips, man, but he was dominant.
Well, hey, I was listening to Maggie and Perloff on CBS, and they said that the 95 Nebraska team is maybe the greatest football team ever.
It's arguable. It's up to be discussed.
They averaged 400 yards a game on the ground. Yeah. I mean, had Tommy Frazier not gotten hurt, and obviously he had the blood clot and stuff, he's probably still getting drafted in the NFL. So, I will say this for this Nebraska team. I mean, I would say they could hit that over on the win total.
Absolutely.
Sure.
I was gonna say I was gonna sprinkle some money on the over.
I was gonna say, to me, looking at the West right now, it just like the East, it boils down to three teams for me.
Okay.
Wisconsin,
yep.
Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
Iowa.
Okay, you won't put Illinois up there?
I think Illinois is going to be lucky.
They're
going to
take a step
five.
Back.
Yeah,
their running back situation.
They're running back. They have no running backs.
Meyer's a good quarterback.
They have a phenom.
A lot of the defense got drafted too.
A phenom wide receiver.
Yeah,
freshman wide receiver, which I'll be interested to see
I'm curious to see how their secondary is without
that's
Witherspoon
the thing. Losing Devon Witherspoon,
Brown.
Yeah, you lost your safety, your two corners, like you lost everything about
Chase
that shutdown
Brown, the running
defense.
Back. They lost a lot.
You know, you know what Penn State does when they lose a cornerback? They just replace him with one that's probably going to go higher than the one before.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Wisconsin, I would definitely say they're the favorite right now. Because
my question to you is, he obviously must have had a pretty decent transfer portal.
Yeah, Luke Fickell, for those who don't know, first year in as the Wisconsin coach after leaving Cincinnati. They got a good transfer portal. They also had some good recruits come in too. That's the thing, is like this is a guy that can step in and help make those changes.
My whole thing is, I don't know if Luke Fickell makes that much of a difference year one.
Okay.
Would be my only statement, because you still have the same guys there that were there last year.
Right.
True.
Well, I think the projection is that, okay, look at what he did at Cincinnati, right? Which he really worked with a lot of three-star guys.
He took over for Brian Kelly.
Right.
Did he not?
No.
No?
No. That was not him.
Who did he take over for then?
I don't remember who was the Cincy coach at the time, but no, that happened a long time ago.
Okay,
but
my bad.
He's not been at Cincinnati that long. Fickell stepping in there. I mean, you've got Braylon Allen as their running back, which he's one of the best in the country, I would say. I mean, he's their one main weapon.
He's maybe not even the best in that conference, though.
No, I agree.
That's the crazy part about it. Like, you can sit there and say all you want about that.
Right.
He may be maybe top five.
Yeah, I would say so.
Maybe.
So Luke Fickell took over for Tommy Tuberville.
Tommy
That's
Tuber.
Right, Tommy, yeah. Tommy Tuberville. Now a senator or whatever.
Tuber.
but I honestly, I look at Wisconsin, their defense is still very much stacked with talent. They got a lot of juniors and seniors.
Any more Watts coming through?
I don't think so. I think
Watts
they're
done popping babies.
For now?
Well, JJ's son or son? Do they have a son? I don't even know.
Yeah.
I think they have a son. Once he gets to Wisconsin, then you'll have the next generation of Watts coming
through. 2045.
Yeah, and then TJ will have a son. And then,
I remember when.
Because they all come out 6'4", 250 pounds.
Give me football.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they chew on.
I still throw Purdue in that conversation.
My biggest concern with Purdue, you lost your number one wide receiver and you lost your number one quarterback.
That's true, but remember, they did get Hudson Card.
That's right.
Hudson Card is the quarterback at Purdue. They do have, by the way, the defensive coordinator from Illinois. That's their new coach, so their defense is going to take a little bit more of a turn. But what they lost in the draft, though, they lost a top linebacker, a top cornerback. Yeah. The cornerback that the Bears should have gotten. I wish Cincy would have gotten, but he went to who else? The Steelers. Trice, listen, you and me watched that game with Trice, and we saw what he was doing. He's 6'3", 185, or 190, dudes.
He's
a less expensive Sauce Gardner.
He and Joey Porter put on a show that day.
Absolutely. That was cornerback day.
They were looking at each other across the field going, I'm anything better than you can do, I can do better. That whole game.
I still don't want to count them out because they have the ability, I think, to make an impact. But like you said, they lost the receiver. They're bringing in some young players. So the projection is, I think, for them that they could challenge. But I don't think they're going to be... I don't think they're going to be bad. I just don't think that they're going to be...
I think Iowa's the sleeper.
Iowa could be.
I think Cade
could be.
I think Cade McNamara makes a huge difference on that team.
Yeah. And they brought in a tight end with him as well, Marvin.
Their offense was just... If they had a semi-decent offense...
If they had a quarterback that could throw the ball last year...
Petrus.
God.
That was
a team... That was a waste
like, and
talent.
The funny thing was, working that college show that I did last year and having two lovely ladies and Alyssa Bergamini and Kate Constable, who were Iowa grads, just watching them go, this is painful.
That's the worst when you're watching the football game and you're going, it hurts to see how
they average, like, I literally think like 9 points a game.
Yeah, it was
rough.
They got better as like the last three games of the season.
Where was this?
I do think that Iowa right now is projected at 7.5 for wins. I just,
my whole thing,
Kirk Ferentz is starting to age out of it, I think.
Well, and he will not let his son go.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Your son is not a good O call.
And that's part of the problem here with a lot of these coaches, not just at the college level, but even at the pros, right?
Oh, yeah.
They keep hiring their family to be part of the coaching staff. Like, listen, Steve Belichick.
I was about to say, don't you dare blaspheme
you
the name of Steve Belichick.
He's really good with the linebackers, but don't tell me that Daddy Bill is not telling Steve what to do.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's his defense.
What defensive setup to run?
Yeah. Dad, I don't want to run that. Son, you listen to me now.
Son, you're going to run this defense. Yeah. I'm telling you to run this defense.
Otherwise,
I gave you this
we all
job.
Get fired.
I gave you this job, okay?
That's true.
That's fantastic.
I'll see you for dinner later.
Well, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's a 12-game season for 12 to 13-game season for pretty much every team in FBS.
Yeah.
So that being said, and this is going to sound very Homer, but you can all just bite it. seeing a 9.5 for Penn State was a little shocking. Because even if they lose to Ohio State and Michigan, that's 10 wins.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I mean, that's where the 9.5, I think, comes in, because what if they're, because like, look, there was the Illinois upset, right? Like, who kind of saw that one coming, right?
Oh, the day they ran for 733 yards and Sean Clifford shouldn't have been on the field because he was playing with 12 cracked ribs.
That's why they do the half, I think, is because they're leaving room for the, well, what if there is an upset, right? Like, Ohio State and Michigan could easily drop the ball. We've seen them do it before.
It happens every year.
Well, 10.5, I kind of agree with Ohio State and Michigan. I mean, the only team that truly deserves to be at 11.5 is Georgia.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. Well, who is, I mean, I think we've talked about, and we'll probably talk about it in the next segment, but like their quarterback situation, because they've lost a lot, not in just in quarterback, but like,
do you think that freshman gets a shot?
For what?
Quarterback?
For Georgia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they go three quarterbacks and they still probably win the national championship.
That's so deep.
That team is so deep at every
level.
Just
throw it to Brock.
Yeah.
God. Yeah, no, that's another.
Well, I mean, before we hit into that next segment there, when we talk about the SEC, real quick for the Big Ten, we've done this before. We'll continue to do it as the season marches on. But, guys, what are your winners for the Big Ten? Who do you see kind of being the staple outlets, the ones that are going to be like what we did last time, like our top three, if you will, winning the division and the two that are possibly going to be in the fight?
Okay. David, you want to go first?
Are we going complete or are we going to – I can tell you right now, for me, it's probably the way I'm leaning right now. I'm going to lean – Michigan to me is – head and shoulders above everybody else unless something drastically bad happens to that team.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll have them playing Iowa in the Big Ten Championship.
Okay.
Okay.
With Michigan winning, of course.
Okay.
But as far as the top three teams overall in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State. And I really do not doubt the fact that all three of those teams could be 11-1 at the end of the season.
No, there's absolutely a complete chance of that. Yeah.
I think Penn State's moved up and Ohio State's come down just a little bit.
They're starting to get more on that even playing field.
And I think that game right there will say who's gonna be there contending. My only thing this year is Michigan's coming to Penn State.
Right.
Anything can happen.
Oh, absolutely.
At Beaver Stadium.
It is a day game, but I don't think that really makes a difference.
On Monday, remind me of that.
Okay.
Because I have a You're Killing Me smiles.
Oh, okay.
Sons of biscuit eaters.
I'll have to be like, pretty similar with the
mark
yeah.
that down,
I
feel like, folks, as a moment.
I feel like this is not like a given, but I feel like Michigan, out of those three, are the best team that they should.
They're just the most complete.
They are. They are on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
It's tough, like, to where to put at number two. It's Ohio State and Penn State. I feel like they're just right there. Because, I mean, to me, there's more of a question mark in Ohio State's quarterback than Penn State. Because, I mean, I've seen Drew Allard, like, film, and I've seen – hearing from your guys' personal experience, I mean, this kid, it's definitely an upgrade.
Wide receivers are as good as they say they are,
he should have a day.
He should have a day.
There's going to be numbers being thrown up at Penn State that have not been seen since Kerry Collins.
I was going to say, that was the last time I think they had a throwing game.
And on the west side, to whoever's going to play probably Michigan in the Big Ten Championship.
Yeah.
Do it. You know you want to.
You can say it, dude, because there's a real possibility.
There's a distinct possibility.
There is a possibility.
Those three teams are so close.
Yeah.
I was almost going to say Wisconsin to win out the West. I think Nebraska could come in second in the West. They'll be tight with Iowa, but I'm going to have to say it's Wisconsin coming out of the West and making the Big Ten. I want to say Nebraska, but I still got to see what's going on this year.
Yeah,
I had hopes.
Understandable.
I had hopes last season.
Listen, these are subject to change at any point.
That's why
during the season.
This is why I tweeted out way too early predictions.
Oh yeah.
If Marvin Harrison Jr. goes down with an injury, please don't.
I just got to see more.
God, no.
Actually, that might not change anything because it's just next man up with that team.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, not only that. The Bears would probably be sitting at home going, there's a chance!
Yeah. There's a chance, baby!
Fall. I'm in agreement. Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State as the ranking for the 1-2 and the 3. I'm with you, Tyler. I'm going to say Wisconsin. It's just because they've got the coach that I think has the experience. They've got the players that have the experience.
Well, if we're going with experience, it's friends.
Oh, yeah.
He's what, 95 now?
Yeah, no, that's true. He's
fading 96.
He's got to be like in his 70s at this point. He's got to be pushing that, right?
How do you 60s or 70s? I kind of want to know. How do you
think he was coaching with Bill Belichick when he was like in his 20s?
F-R-E-N-T-Z. Yeah.
Or in his 30s or something like that. What were they were on that Browns team in the 90s. Him, yeah. Saban, all those dudes. So,
67. We were close.
67.
To think that from a crappy Cleveland Browns team came all these great coaches.
And GMs and presidents and all that stuff. It's insane. But I got to give it to Wisconsin. I just, they got the more firepower at this point.
I will say this on top of what Andrew has been saying. I would not be shocked to see two Big Ten teams in the Final Four this year, though.
No.
No, I would agree on that.
Absolutely
I
not.
Could totally see that.
Whether it's Penn State or Ohio State, I couldn't tell you because literally that is a coin flip and it is being played at the Horseshoe this year. So
right.
Oh, yeah. Two of the three teams that we talked about will be in the Final Four.
Yeah.
More than likely. So
I do have a ticket on Penn State to win the national title, though.
Why not? Right?
25 to 1.
Hey, man.
I take it.
I did it for LSU, so.
LSU's is probably
I'm going to see what Nebraska's chances are. Probably 100-1.
60.
I thought last time we looked it up, it was like 5,000-1 or something like that, or 10,000-1. Wasn't that the deal?
5,000 would be 50.
During the break, I'm going to look it up.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for the Big Ten talk here. But when we come back, we've kind of been teasing it, so let's just get right into it. The SEC, that's coming up next here on Blow the Whistle on twitch.tv/sportstownshy.